And good afternoon. My name is Shona Osterhout, and you're listening to Juno Afternoon. Today is Thursday, February 5th. We have a great show lined up for you today. We'll talk with Finnish artist Inari Kailanen and about her first Friday opening at the Canvas. Artist Susie Griffin will be here to highlight her first Friday show at Annie Kale's. Beth Weigel will be here to update us about the Juno Public Libraries. And Nancy DeCherney will be here with Arts Up, Writer's Almanac, and more here on a Juno Afternoon. This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. President Obama's proposed budget for 2016 includes an increase in funding for the Indian Health Service. Tristan Autone reports.
A proposed $460 million extra dollars to the Indian Health Service represents a nearly 10% increase over 2015's budget. The extra cash would go to improve rural care programs, expansion of health care services, and upgrades to IHS's existing electronics record system. Yvette Robodeau serves as IHS's acting director.
If this proposed budget is enacted, the Indian Health Service discretionary budget will have increased nearly 53% since fiscal year 2008.
The proposed budget also includes funding for additional staffing in new facilities and construction on new health centers in Arizona and South Dakota. The budget also includes $25 million for a tribal behavioral health initiative for young people, which aims to develop programs and hire staff to address drug use and suicide in Native communities. The president's proposed $4 trillion budget will continue to Congress for approval. For National Native News, I'm Tristan Autown.
A public hearing was held this week on the Coquille Tribe's gaming plan. The Oregon tribe already operates a casino and wants to build another one on trust land. As Will Robbins reports, a neighboring tribe opposes the idea.
Nearly all those who spoke at the hearing opposed the application. Andrea Davis, the Human Services Director for the nearby Cow Creek Band of the Umpqua Tribe, said competition from a Coquille casino in Medford would cut income from her tribe's casino in Canyonville by half.
The loss of revenue would directly and severely impact services my tribe provides to its members, to our children, and to our elders.
Other speakers warned of increased crime, gambling addiction, and public cost if the casino were built. Meanwhile, Coquille Tribal Chair Brenda Mead said approval of the request would be a fulfillment of the commitments made when Congress restored the tribe's legal status in 1989, several decades after stripping it of federal recognition.
Today, we ask the federal government to uphold its promise to the Coquille people and to consider our trust land application on its merits.
Coquille tribal leaders say the casino would be an economic boost for both the tribe and surrounding community. In Oregon, I'm Will Robbins reporting.
Four bipartisan bills have made it out of the U.S. Senate Committee on Indian Affairs. Vice Chair of the committee, John Tester, says they're designed to improve self-determination and protect Native children. The Indian Self-Determination and Education Assistance Act allows tribes to tailor federal Indian programs to the specific needs of their communities. It also streamlines tribes' negotiations of compacts with the Interior Secretary. It clarifies the criteria the secretary must use when deciding to approve or deny those contracts. The Native American Child Safety Act would increase protections for children by requiring tribal agencies to expand background checks for all adults living in foster care homes, not just the foster parents. The other two bills address energy development and a commission for Native children. All the bills were introduced last Congress. Thousands of dollars in art was recently stolen from the Yukon-Kuskokwim Health Corporation in Bethel, Alaska. 13 pieces of Yupik art are missing from display cases in the administrative building. Risk Management Director Linda Wiseweaver says it appears the burglar tried to hide the theft.
All the pieces that they removed were really smaller. The biggest one was probably a foot and a half tall tusk, walrus tusk, that had been carved. The majority of them would fit inside somebody's coat or jacket.
A cash reward is being offered for information leading to an arrest or the safe return of the art. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kawanic Broadcast Corporation. with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation.
Support for this program is provided by the Native American Rights Fund, reminding you that sovereignty is not free. Native American Rights Fund has been helping Indian tribes for over 40 years with critical issues such as treaty enforcement, hunting and fishing rights, Indian child welfare, religious freedom, and more. You too can become a modern-day warrior with your support for NARF's work. Learn more at narf.org and join the fight for Native rights.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
The American Cancer Society invites you to the annual Relay for Life kickoff party. Juno's Relay for Life event takes place in June and is an opportunity for teams to raise money to fight against cancer with a fun-filled 18-hour walk. Money raised for this event helps fund research and provide support for individuals affected by cancer. Come learn more at Rockwell on Friday, February 6th at 6 p.m. during the Relay for Life kickoff party. More information at relayforlifeofjuno.org.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Thursday, February the 5th, 2015. It's the birthday of the writer and comedian Frank Muir, born in Ramsgate, England, 1920, wrote radio comedy for the BBC for many years, author of a memoir, A Kentish Lad. Frank Muir, who said, "Strategy is buying a bottle of fine wine when you take a lady out for dinner. Tactics is getting her to drink it." He said, "Wit is a weapon. Jokes are a masculine way of inflicting superiority. But humor is the pursuit of a gentle grin, usually in solitude." It's the birthday of Christopher Guest, born in New York City, 1948, the writer and director of movies, including This Is Spinal Tap, Waiting for Guffman, and A Mighty Wind. William S. Burroughs, the novelist, born on this day in St. Louis, 1914, grew up in a wealthy family, did not care for it, didn't care for Harvard, kept a .32 caliber revolver in his dorm room, tried to join the army, got a psychiatric discharge, worked odd jobs, moved to New York City, where he met the beat writers Jack Kerouac, Allen Ginsberg, before they were known. Burroughs became addicted to morphine, sold heroin in Greenwich Village to support himself, wrote a memoir, Junkie. It's the birthday of the physicist Robert Hofstadter, born 1915, New York City, famous for his research on the nucleus of the atom. He measured the precise size and shape of the proton and neutron, the particles of the nucleus, for which he won the Nobel Prize in 1961 for presenting the first reasonably accurate picture of the structure and composition of atomic neutrons and protons. And it's the birthday of the playwright John Guare, New York City, 1938, grew up in a show business family. His father had been an assistant to George M. Cohan. John Guare, author of the plays Musica, The House of Blue Leaves, Landscape of the Body, and his best-known work, 6 Degrees of Separation. Here's a poem for today by Billy Collins entitled Adage. When it's late at night and branches are banging against the windows, you might think that love is just a matter of leaping out of the frying pan of yourself into the fire of someone else. But it's a little more complicated than that. It's more like trading the two birds who might be hiding in that bush for the one you are not holding in your hand. A wise man once said that love was like forcing a horse to drink, but then everyone stopped thinking of him as wise. Let us be clear about something. Love is not as simple as getting up on the wrong side of the bed, wearing the emperor's clothes. No, it's more like the way the pen feels after it has defeated the sword. It's a little like the penny saved or the 9 dropped stitches. You look at me through the halo of the last candle and tell me love is an ill wind that has no turning, a road that blows no good. But I am here to remind you, as our shadows tremble on the walls, that love is the early bird who is better late than never. Adage by Billy Collins from his collection Aimless Love, published by Random House and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac. Supported by the Poetry Foundation, you can turn your iPhone or Android into a virtual poetry library with the Poetry Foundation's Poetry app, available to everyone online at poetryfoundation.org/mobile. And by Progressive Insurance, with its Apron Project, celebrating progress and the people who make it happen. Produced by Joy Biles, assisted by Kathy Roach, be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
And thank you for tuning in to Juno Afternoon. Today is Thursday, February 5th, and my name is Shona Osterhout. Joining me in the studio right now is artist Susie Griffin, who will have a show opening tomorrow at Annie Kale's as part of First Friday in February. Welcome to the studio.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So you know, I've seen some of your work actually online, and I've checked you out online, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you say, kind of multimedia, which
yes.
is maybe different than mixed media, or as the case may be. But
yes.
I was just wondering, what does that mean for your work?
For my work, this means that as doing a Juno series specifically, I really felt like there was no way I could pick one media to describe Juno. It's such an amazing combination of people groups and cultures and backgrounds, and I just couldn't describe it with one flat piece of art. So I've included plastic and wood and thread and embroidery and metallic finishes and everything under the sun, and mashed it all together in a really creative and fun and kind of new to Juno way that I think will be really interesting for everybody.
And so this particular opening or this series is actually based on Juno as an inspiration, the landscape or the people, kind of everything.
Yes, everything. My neighbor very graciously called it my little love letter to Juno because it covers everything from what we love, you know, extra tufts, fishing, to people groups, to the traditions and cultures that have enriched and strengthened our culture here, to just little tiny things like our feelings about the rain and our feelings about the glacier and kind of what it's like to be a local versus a tourist who just visits.
Mm-hmm. And so what you've brought in one of your pieces of work, which is just beautiful. It looks like a photograph of a young boy fishing, and it might be around Twin Lakes, it looks like.
It is, yes, fishing
cool.
day.
Yeah, oh, great. So it's actually part of the fishing day.
Yeah.
And what he's caught is something huge and magical.
Yeah.
But on the photo, it looks like it's been embroidered, essentially.
It has. It
okay.
is tedious and incredible work to try to embroider onto paper, which is very easily punctured and ripped. So, and every piece that I've created for this show is not only aesthetically what it is, but there is a deeper meaning to it that the Junoites will love and get, and each one of the pieces will have a multiple, a card next to it that will have a meaning that goes deeper than what you just see as the image. So I encourage people to check that out because it's really, really a way to get into the art a little deeper and to see it a different way.
It also seems like there's a blend of something that's magical as well as something that we are very familiar with.
Yes, okay. Yes.
So that's definitely something that you're going for.
Yes. It's often been described as whimsical. I don't really have a better word for it other than just there's always the glass half full or glass half empty, and I choose to see things as the glass half full. It's so much more rich to see life that way, I believe, and the artwork I really feel like reflects that.
Mm-hmm. And we have a new guest in the studio. I'm wondering if you might introduce yourself.
Sure. I'm Colleen Goldrich from Annie Kale's, and we're very excited to have Susie's show going up. We've been working on getting the walls ready today, and it's going to be quite a show.
Great. And what time does the event start tomorrow?
It starts at 4:30 and runs, usually it'll go until 7, 7:30, somewhere in there.
Okay. And Susie, will all your pieces be for sale?
Not all of the pieces are for sale. There's some pieces that are borrowed from collectors that I am showing just for the night. But I always try to have reproductions available in both fine art photographic prints as well as canvas reproductions. I will be bringing some of those on hand. Most of the originals are for sale. But if there is something that you fall in love with and it's already sold, please do not fret. You can always talk to one of us and we will order you something and get it into your hands, because I'm a firm believer that if you fall in love with a piece of art, there's a reason that your soul kind of needs to be connected with that piece, and I will do everything I possibly can to make it available to you in your price point.
So this is a pretty exciting opportunity for Juno, because you're actually a very new artist to Juno.
New to Juno, yes. Yeah. Not new to the field of art, yeah. But absolutely. This is my only second show publicly here in Juno. I've had a pretty small presence here, and I kind of tucked myself away this last year and really put my heart and soul into this show, and I really hope that people can come out and enjoy it for what it's meant to be, which is a connection for people to really feel another way of love for Juno. And I think people will look at the pieces and go, that's exactly what I felt, you know, when I heard the phrase, Juno body runs great. Not everybody will picture an orange orangutan kind of looking frumpy with a stomach sticking out, but I do. And I painted it for every woman who's ever gone and tried on a bathing suit and felt awful about it, or every guy that's a wingman. And every human in Juno knows what Juno body runs great. Doesn't just imply a car sales, but it's kind of sometimes how we feel occasionally as a human. So the pieces are dual, at least, and sometimes very triplicate in their nature of what they mean.
Can you talk a little bit about what other kind of mediums that you like to use? Because clearly this is photography. It's a looks like fiber arts. Are there other, what other mediums do you like?
Mostly I do acrylic paintings. I have done, actually I've done several large-scale installation artwork. This is the first installation that I've done, which is hanging in the front window of Annie Kale's right now. But I've done large-scale installation art before, and I adore it. I do temporary installation art. Ones that are meant to be up for a season and then go back down again as a way of decorating a space. I love that. Acrylic painting, I find a way to put it on everything, it seems like, and I'm always experimenting. I think if I limit myself to just one medium, I get pretty bored. So I really try to branch out and do new things. Right now I'm teaching at Montessori, the middle school group, and the one thing that I really hope that they can really come away with is that there's no mistakes in art, and to always keep growing in that. And I really believe the same thing with my own art, to just keep growing and experimenting.
So right now, actually, in the window of Annie Kale's is this installation that you
yes.
speak of, and it's actually made of zip ties,
mm-hmm.
and it is a it's your comment on global warming or on the environment, or?
Yes, both. It okay. is 4,600 zip ties individually painted and connected together. And my idea of it was that all of us here in Juno kind of have the Mendenhall Glacier in the background of our minds, and it's just disappearing kind of right before us. And there's this feeling of overwhelming, what can we do about it? Well, you can't stop a force so big. But there's this amazing resonance here in Juno that we take pride in what we have, and we pick up trash when we can. And if we see something laying out on Eagle Beach, well, we collect it for our friend, neighbor, somebody we don't know. And I wanted a way to visualize the impact that we all have as locals to maybe not stop a glacier from receding, but maybe do what we can, and to let our lives be an impact. And even if it feels like a drop in the bucket, that we really can make an impact on each other's lives. And even if we all throw our weight together, maybe it will make an impact on our environment and the beautiful landscapes that we're fortunate enough to be surrounded by. So it's representative of one cruise ship full of people. If they all dropped one gum wrapper, it would make a big mess. And it's also representative of only 15% of the population. If we all picked up one piece of trash, it does make a difference. And
yeah,
kind of it is what it is.
Definitely. And have you noticed a response from people walking by to this zip tie?
Oh, yeah. It's been wonderful to have in the window. I mean, I think people walk by and it stops them in their tracks and they look at it. And in front of it, we have Susie's painting of the Mendenhall Glacier using words and the image. And it's interesting. I'm so glad she's here to talk about it. And that people hopefully can come and talk to her tomorrow night, too, because there's always so much more going on in her work than what you first see. And the image of the Mendenhall in front of the zip-tie Mendenhall Glacier is just this huge impact. And then down in the right corner of the window, we have this bright red pair of boots that's her theme of the show, There's No Such Thing as Bad Weather. So it's a wonderful window. And if then there's an artist statement out there, too. And if it wasn't so windy, I think a lot, you know, it's been so cold and everything, people aren't necessarily reading the whole thing. But I think that they're getting it, and they come in and ask us what it is and how, you know, they can't believe that she painted all the zip ties and just the whole thing. It's very cool window.
Yeah. Susie, what's your background in art? So when did you start? And clearly you've been an artist in many other places besides Juno.
Yes, I started... I call it accidentally on purpose, maybe. I always worked in creative endeavors, from floral design to I owned a business in interior decorating, using what you have kind of a thing. I did a degree in consumer arts, some fine art training, but not a full degree in it. I did everything from scrapbook design. I always worked in creative endeavors, and it wasn't until I was doing art journaling and I had these pieces drying up in my windowsill and friends convinced me to put them out there, and I was frantically trying to hide them. I thought it was my journal, and they convinced me to put it out there, and it was to rave success, because there's no emotion that's not common to any other man, and it was really empowering to realize that these pieces that I thought were a diary were really just a reflection of what everybody really feels. And it gives people a way to put words on an emotion, words on a concept that they just have been struggling to put into words. I see so many people walk up to the art and point at it and elbow their husband and say, "That's what I've been trying to say. This is it." It's that very key statement of a picture is worth a thousand words. And my artistry has evolved through time spent, diligence, and really just putting my hand to the task over and over and over again, born out of an extreme passion to learn and to grow in my craft. And so that's my background, is all of those things.
Great. So you can check out Susie Griffin's work tomorrow night. It's the opening of the show as of first Friday in February. Say that seven times fast. You can check it out tomorrow starting at 4:30 at Annie Kale's downtown. And how long will the exhibit be up?
It'll be up all month, except for the pieces that are on loan. We'll have it featured all month. Yeah.
Great. Sounds good. A pleasure talking with you both. Thank you so much, and have a lovely opening tomorrow. I look forward to seeing it.
Thank you.
Down.
And thank you for tuning in to Juno Afternoon. Today is Thursday, February 5th. My name is Shona Osterhout. And in the studio with me, I have Finnish artist Inari Kulanen. Didn't screw that up too
almost
much.
Right.
Almost right.
Took me husband a year to get it right.
Really? So. Okay, well, good. Then I'm not doing so poorly. You have an opening at the Canvas tomorrow. And thank you for joining me in the studio.
Yeah, I do. Pretty exciting.
So what is your work like? I've seen a lot of it online, and what I really notice a lot is just the colors, this burst of color.
Yeah, I do love color. It's one of the starting points of my pieces, but I'm also a visual storyteller that I want my pieces to convey something, a story. It's a middle point of some sort of happening. I'm not telling you the beginning. I'm not telling you the end. But I'm just cueing in. All right, there's the turning point. This is happening. And then it's up to you to figure out what was it and what's happening next.
Oh, so you just kind of get a splash of the story and the rest you just get to fill in.
Yeah.
And is that, do you, when you go to create the pieces, do you have the beginning and end in your mind?
Sometimes. But I feel like it's a dialogue between me and my piece that I start with something and then also like, oh, I should add a fish here. Where could I put a fish? Okay, I'll put a fish here. And like, oh, maybe the fish needs more fish. And then I start adding more. And then the original thing, maybe it was a lion, just sort of vanishes. And then it's about fish. And then it might be. So I feel that it's that they kind of take the mind of their own. And I'm sometimes just sort of there to figure out where this painting wants to go. But I don't really have a vision beforehand. It just sort of happens as I'm painting.
Yeah. So what kind of work will be in the exhibit opening tomorrow?
A lot of portraits with people mouths open, I guess. I just realized it. So I was looking at like, okay.
How did that happen?
Yeah, I'm not really sure.
So just tons of portraits. Where was it purposeful that everybody's mouth was
no,
open?
No, really. I just noticed it today as I was hanging it. I thought, there is actually lots of tongues and teeth. And
oh, really?
That's
interesting. And who are the portraits of?
And there's sort of combination of people that I know. I might take eyes from somebody and nose from somebody that I don't really sit down. I draw a lot, but when I paint, I'm usually by my studio by myself. So a lot of that are like, I need a nose. All right, I'm going to put a mirror and look at my nose. So that is what happens quite often. And they're kind of things that I'm thinking about and that influences the pieces a lot. So I've been thinking about a lot of my grandparents that are in their 90s and three of them are still alive.
Wow.
Two of them have dementia. So I've been thinking a lot about what it means to be you and when do you lose your sense of self that my grandmother is sort of, she's living in her childhood basically. And it's just that how all these years that you had vanished in a way.
Mm-hmm.
So there are a few pieces that are influenced by that thinking. They're not really straightforward. You kind of have to feel it. Or maybe some people get totally different things out of them. And what I thought was silly, meaningless in a way.
And is most of your work painting? Is that most of your medium?
I paint a lot. I also draw a lot, but a lot of my drawings, I feel that they're kind of quick and dirty and you just do it, but it's not really the finished artwork.
Mm-hmm.
And I do a little bit of printmaking, but that's kind of, I still feel like, I'm still a beginner in printmaking. So most of the things that I put out are paintings.
Okay. And is this your first exhibit at the Canvas?
It's the first exhibit in Juneau.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
That's great. So are you new to town? Or
I've been living here for 3 years now.
Okay. So not totally new.
Yeah.
Your first show. And then I saw also that you're teaching classes also at the Canvas.
I am. So I'm going to teach color theory, which is the basics that everybody thinks that, you put blue and you put red and you get purple. And then in reality, when you do it, you get this ugly brown. And
right.
I'm supposed to get beautiful purple. What is this brown doing here? So I'm talking about the modern color theory and figuring sort of there's going to be a lot of theory, what is color and how it influences but then there's going to be a lot of small exercises. So kind of that, if you put this blue and this red, now you get the beautiful purple. But if you use this red, then it's the ugly, ugly brown that you get.
Yeah, and are there other classes that you teach there as well?
There's going to be a printmaking class. Now that I'm going to contradict myself that I said that I don't really do much, that I'm a beginner. But I did teach Canvas. I taught the Rich Artist for a year and a half, which is really wonderful experience. That their approach to art is so straightforward. It's like you do it. You have no fear, which is just amazing.
It's beautiful, isn't it?
It is. It
yeah.
is.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to get that mindset and no fear, you can do this. So I taught a printmaking class, a collagraph, which is you glue stuff into a board. So it's very easy way that most of the printmaking methods are really hard. You have to do, there's so many things that can go wrong. So you do your plate, you either etch it, you put it in the acid, or you carve it, or you do stuff, and tons of things can go wrong. Or then you do with a printmaking press, and tons of things can go wrong, and you rip your paper, and you get frustrated. And with collagraphs, doing the plates is really easy. That you have a mat board, and you glue stuff to it, or you draw with a gesso. So making the plate is easy. The press is still hard, mm-hmm. and the paper ripping part is still hard. At least one part of the process is easy.
What is your background in, you know, where did your training in, or when did you become an artist?
Well, that's kind of a
loaded
chicken egg question. So I've been drawing my whole life, but most of the time I didn't really think I would be an artist, because artists is like, they're the guards, they're out there, they're really, really, really good. And I'm like, I'm just drawing. And then all of a sudden I'm like, well, I could put my work out there. And I got a degree in graphic design first in Finland, because that's kind of like, it's not out there, it's sort of doable, it's here. And that sort of led into that. I went to Fairbanks as an exchange student, took all the art classes there. I was like, I'm loving this, this is great. And then I met my husband, and they sort of like, oh, I came for a year, and I ended up staying for 8 years in Fairbanks. So.
As it usually happens.
Yeah. Yes. And then I was just doing art there, and getting my MFA from the Fairbanks University.
Oh, great. Wow. Well, how cool. We're very lucky to have you here then. Huh?
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. And what other pieces are in your opening tomorrow, and how long will it be up?
It's a whole month, and it's 17 paintings. Most of them are kind of tiny. There's a few bigger pieces, and all of them are acrylics on either board or canvas. And I like it. I thought it looks great.
Yeah,
it is probably.
That's great. And so, what time is it opening tomorrow? Or is it about 4:30?
Yeah, it starts at 4:30. It goes all the way to 7. And there's other openings, so I'm hoping a lot of people going through all the galleries and just seeing all the art that there is.
And people will be able to get to meet you. And are they available for purchase?
Mm-hmm. Yep. They are.
Great.
I'm being awkwardly standing there and answering, what does this mean? I don't know.
What do you think it means? Yeah. That's great. Anari Kulanen, thank you so much for joining us in the studio today. And have a great opening tomorrow
as part of
First Friday at the Canvas. It starts at 4:30. There's a lot of really cool places to hit, so make sure you swing by the Canvas. Thank you so much.
Kiitos paljon.
This is Bird Note. If it weren't for birds, how many of us would be invited to enjoy nature? Think how seldom we experience animals other than birds. Most of us rarely see wild mammals, with the exception of squirrels and their relatives, and some of the large grazers, such as deer. Reptiles and amphibians are mostly shy and secretive. Like most small mammals, they're active only at night. Except for the larger butterflies and dragonflies, insects and other invertebrates are so small they're usually beneath our notice. Crickets and katydids do entertain us at night, but invisibly. Birds are all around us, easily seen and enjoyed. when we look into our backyards or drive across country, most of the animals we see are birds. Most are active during the day. During the breeding season, males sing and display, often in flight. Many birds hunt on the wing, and it's a safe bet that you'll see one if you take the time to watch the sky. Birds mark the seasons with their migrations, sometimes in large flocks. In fact, birds are unavoidable. How many fewer nature lovers there would be if it weren't for the more than 10,000 species of birds? Learn more at birdnote.org.
Juno Jazz and Classics proudly presents one of the greatest violinists of our time, Midori, in concert one night only, February 10th, 7:30 p.m. at the JDHS Auditorium. Violin virtuoso Midori will perform masterworks by Beethoven, Bach, Strauss, and others. Tickets available at jazzandclassics.org, The Jack, or Hearthside Books. This concert, in cooperation with Partners in Performance, benefits the 2015 Jazz and Classics Festival. Don't miss the one and only Midori.
And thank you for tuning in to Juno Afternoon. Today is Thursday, February 5th, and my name is Shona Osterhout. And joining me in the studio are some of my favorites. It's the library update. Hello, ladies.
Hello.
Thanks for coming by the studio. I love it when you're here. So what's going on with the Juno Public Libraries?
The Juno Public Libraries. Well, this is Beth, and I'm excited for this month's activities. We've got some really fun things happening. We're going to do two Science Fridays this month, and one of them is going to be Lego exploration. So if people aren't aware, there are Legos at the library, and you can come in and check them out and hang out in the library and build with the Legos on any table. And so we're going to spend actually Friday, February 13th, dedicating a few hours to building all three libraries. So come on in and we'll have the meeting rooms set up so you can just build. We're also doing a hula hoop, the physics of hula hooping.
Really?
Yeah.
So is there going to be a scientist there to actually, like, talk about the physics of hula hooping?
No, we're going to watch a little video.
Oh, good.
And we'll learn about things like centripetal force and torque and gravity and how the hula hoop stays up. And we're going to build some hula hoops.
Oh, I love building hula hoops. It's so great. And there's some serious hoopers in our town, too.
Yep. So the friends from the Harborview Hoopers are going to come and help us build them. So,
oh, very cool.
It'll be pretty exciting. That's going to be the next Friday after. And that's on the
20th?
Yeah, Friday, February 20th from 4 to 6 at the Douglas Library.
Cool. And what's going on in your world?
We have a whole bunch of different things going on. So, as you're probably aware, the library is closed for Elizabeth Perotrovich Day. But we will be having an event celebrating her and her life and her legacy the following day, Tuesday, February 17th. Jackie Martin, former Grand President of the Alaska Native Sisterhood and current member on the Executive Committee, is going to give us a talk about Elizabeth Perotrovich and her life, her legacy, and then we're going to watch a really great documentary called For the Rights of All, Ending Jim Crow in Alaska. And libraries from across the state are all going to listen to Jackie Martin talk, and we're all going to watch this documentary, and then we're all going to be able to talk to each other and have a facilitated discussion on race and civil rights and how things are going in Alaska. So that is one of the things that's going on, and Tuesday, February 17th.
Tuesday, February 17th, and what library do you need to be
that's
at for
that
one?
That's going to be at the Douglas Library, 5:30 p.m.
5:30 p.m., so cool.
So are you ready for another film quiz? See if you can guess the title.
Film quiz. I think I'm like 2 for 2.
You're 2 for 2 for sure.
Sweet.
So our next After Hours film night is on Thursday, February 19th. It's at the Douglas Library. Okay, so this film that we'll be showing is based on a musical. The French title of that was La Cage aux Folles. And it's a modern version with Robin Williams.
Oh, with Robin Williams. Oh, Birdcage?
Yay! Ding, ding, ding!
Good job. I love that. I love that movie.
Right. So that'll be on the 19th. That starts at 6 p.m. after hours at the Douglas Library.
Is that an after hours type film, huh? I can't remember the content.
I think because it's
rated R.
It is. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Let's see, what else can we tell you? We've got a really interesting program also on the 24th of February. It's called Poems in Place. We're doing this in conjunction with our friends at UAS, Emily Wall, one of our well-known poets here in town, and Jonas Lamb, also a poet and works at the library there at UAS. And basically this is a national program, I believe, that allows people to work on some poetry that's inspired by place. And this year, there's two places in the Alaska State Park system where they're going to show some slides of those places. One of them is Canes Head State Recreation Area. The other one's Fort Abercrombie State Historic Park. And, you know, you kind of check out these images and then see how you're inspired to write a response or a poem based on place. Emily is going to share some poetry. People will be, you know, encouraged to do that. So it's not quite a workshop, but it's not quite a poetry reading. It's something a little bit in between that, I think, where it's you know, you're welcome to come and think about, you know, poetry that you might want to write, and also hear poetry that'll be perhaps, you know, constructed there or from previous times. And I think also we'll be choosing some people to, or choosing some poems or suggesting some poems that we think should be entered into this program.
And is this actually part of a national poetry of place thing, or?
I think it's Alaskan, actually. Alaskan landscapes and poetry.
Oh, cool.
But I'm not sure if Poems in Place has a larger following. It does say Poems in Place. So discover the nominees for this year's Poems in Place, yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, so it should be a really interesting evening of, and that's 6:30 to 8 at the Downtown Library on February 24th. And then we also have some other cool programs. At the end of the month, we have a great illustrator, right?
Oh, illustrator and author. So Kazu Kabushi. And he wrote the Explorer and the Amulet series, and Explorer Book 1 was one of the battle books this year. And if you're a huge geek like I am, nerd like I am, he did the redoing of all the Harry Potter covers, so he is the illustrator who did that. So he writes and illustrates his own comics, and he is coming to Juneau. He will be here on Saturday, February 29th, and he's going to do a workshop on creating comics, and that's going to be at the Douglas Library at 1:30, and it's going to be amazing.
It's You're going to be personally amazing. Very excited about this one.
I am so excited.
Yeah. I know. If you could see the happiness in your eyes, the listening audience would be excited.
Also, you should read all of his books. So, you know.
That's great.
Well, you know, I know you're married now, Shona, but we'd still like to set you up on a blind date.
With who?
With a book.
Oh, yay. I can go on dates with books.
Right? So all month long, we are doing this program called Blind Date with a Book. So if you come into any of the branches, you pick up one of our books. We've wrapped them, and sometimes we draw on them, and they look really cool. And you go home, and you start reading it. And you say, oh, this is fabulous, or, oh, this is terrible. I can't believe they set me up with this person. And then you tell us about it, and you get entered into a drawing to go to the movies in case you want to go on a date with not a book, or you can take your book to the movies. That's fine with us.
And if you're not quite ready for dating yet, we have a selection of the juvenile fiction and different juvenile selections where you can just take a chance.
I like that it's called juvenile because you're not quite ready to date. That's very funny.
Right.
Yeah.
And then I also want to just keep on your radar that we'll come in and talk about this next month a little bit more, but we're going to do a little mini Bardathon this year. We're not going to do the full works, but we are going to sit down and read through a few plays. I'm still taking suggestions. If people have a strong feeling about what they might want to read, we'll probably be able to do between 3 to 5, maybe a few more. We'll see plays, and that'll be right at the beginning of March, that first weekend in March.
That'll be fun.
It'll be great.
People like to read their Shakespeare aloud.
I know. It's the only way to do it, really.
Well, plays are not meant to be read quietly. I mean, they're not meant to be read on the page. Yeah. I tell that to my students all the time.
What's your favorite?
You know, it's a toss-up between Merchant of Venice, mm-hmm. Two Noble Kinsmen, although Two Noble Kinsmen is not totally credited by Shakespeare. Some people say yes, some people say no. It's one of his, like, you know, is that... Did he write
sure,
that?
Sure, yeah.
Yeah. So probably those two.
Mm-hmm.
Othello, R&J, you have to love, really.
Yeah.
I mean, mm-hmm. if you're a sappy romantic like myself. I might go on a date with a book. Don't tell anybody. Don't tell my husband.
We can set him up, too.
Yeah.
No problem.
No problem. That's great. Well, where do we find out all this fabulous library information? Because there's so much going on at the library all the time, and I feel like we could take better advantage of our libraries here in town.
That's right. So you can always come visit us at our website. We have, it's at www.juno.com/library.
Juno.org/library.
Juno.org/library. And you can check out our website. We have a variety of calendars. You can download the printed calendar that we have available for you when you walk in. You can also look at our featured events and get a few more pieces of information or see the flyer for it there. You can check out our Facebook page. We often post all of that information to Facebook and encourage people to share that. So lots of places to get information. You can always call us. Right. Just give us a call at the circulation desk. We'll tell you what's going on.
Yeah. And that late night at the movies or whatever? After hours, but it's at 6?
I know.
The Douglas Library opens at 11 and closes at 5 on Thursday.
Okay, so it is technically after hours.
Yes.
That's great. I love that. Well, I got a message. I was out of town last week. I got a message on, text message that was like, Hedvig at the library, be there. And I was like, okay. Well, I mean, I was out of town.
We do these these after-hour films in collaboration with Sigla. So.
Oh, perfect.
They're helping us promote that as well.
That's very cool. Well, great. You know what? Always such a pleasure to find out what's going on at the library because so much. I'm excited to date a book. I hope other people date a book, too.
You might just prepare yourself for an interesting relationship. We had one piece of feedback where she said, the woman said she got a book by Faulkner, and she says, you just can't casually date Faulkner. You have to kind of commit to him. And you're like, yeah, so...
Well, yes and. I mean, I don't want to commit to Faulkner, It would be a bad relationship.
But a dinner date. Just about the right length.
That's what I'm saying. We could do dinner. All right. Thank you so much for coming on to talk about all the cool happenings, haps, at the library.
Thank you.
And that's Midori. You can check out Midori on Tuesday at the Juno Douglas High School Auditorium at 7:30 p.m. And I believe that's part of the fabulous one and only Nancy DeJourney project.
No, it's a Juno Jazz and Classics
Ooh,
project.
Oh, a lie.
Yeah.
I'm such a liar.
I'm happy to take credit for it. But yes, Midori is Jazz and Classics
all the way, Tuesday at 7:30.
And people, this is like having Yo-Yo Ma come to visit. So we have to get there.
Oh, really?
I mean, she is top of the line. Absolutely. So don't miss this. Okay, enough about that. Let's go on First Friday.
Yeah, what's going on First Friday? So just so you know, we talked to Inari Kilanen about the Canvas opening and Susie Griffin at Annie Kales.
Okay, so Annie Kales, been there, done that.
Yep.
Okay, Shoofly, Tana Peters.
We have not done that.
And you can spend some time there.
Yes, we can.
Yeah, Tana does wonderful crocheted, warm, fuzzy things that you need on a day like today. And then they have boots and whatnot over there at Shoofly. So go there. And I think right across the street, there's something happening at GCI, Catch Fly Photography, with Meta Best Egg, and it's only going to be there for that day.
Oh, cool.
So stop in there. Of course, we always advise you to come to the Arts Council first, get your little flyer, check it out. We have two artists in our gallery this month. We have Black and White Photography by Richard Hebhart. It's beautiful, beautiful life-scapes, landscapes. And then
I like life-scapes, though.
I'm just really having tablescapes. I'm having a hard time formulating words. Okay.
Who's the other artist you have over there?
Amanda Flory.
Oh, yeah.
And she does brilliantly colored acrylics. So it's just like wearable art, sort of a juxtaposition. We have black and white, and we have brilliantly colored. So it's going to be a really lively show. And stop in, like I said, to get your little flyer so that you can be ready to go all the other things. Copa has Tiles and Fire, community artwork from the canvas.
Cool.
And, of course, they'll have ice cream, so you'll need that. The Alaska State Library has artwork from Mary's Wild Winter Feast, Clarissa Rizal, and Nobu Koch.
Wow.
And they are only open until 6, so it's a good idea to go up there early on your walkabout. And while you're up there, there's an exhibit of Toe cartoons happening at the City Museum. Toe Show, Totally Juno, and Ordinary Things and Extraordinary Tales. So, and I believe Toe will be up there talking about some thoughts that he's had about the Charlie Hebdo situation in Paris and stuff. So make an effort to get up there to see that. Let's see, we just talked about GCI. Oh, also at the Arts Council every week, M.K. McNaughton, the prolific artist that she is bringing in a new portrait that she does of somebody in the working person from around Juneau. So you can, the series is called Grit, and you can check out her most recent Grit portrait. Let's see, the Juneau Artist Gallery has fiber artist Barbara Mitchell, and she will be demonstrating her needle felting techniques as well.
Cool.
As having her stuff on sale or, be on a special exhibit right then. There will be treats, of course. Kindred Post has something really fun planned. They have our photo booth. It's called Meet a Tiny Giant. This month's photo booth is with M.K. McNaughton and photographer Catherine Hatch. The guests from the Juneau Giant Puppet Project invite you to drop by and play with perspectives and puppets. So there will also be live music by Irene Mueller. So it's always fun. The puppet thing is really amazing. Go down to the wharf if you have a chance and see the workshop. It's in the one of the wharf things that's usually only open in the summertime. So it's amazing what they've got going on down there. Heritage Coffee on 2nd Street has acrylic landscapes and eyeballs by Robert Ford.
What do you mean, and eyeballs?
It says that here.
Nancy's like, look, I'm not the artist.
I'm just reading, what I've been told. So apparently, you should go to this exhibit so that we know.
So I can see.
Yes.
What
as far
about.
As the eye can see. Alaskan Brewing Depot will be having a new rough draft called Smash Galaxy. They'll have their Imperial Red and Free Ride APA. And some food samples. Of course, you must be 21 to be going in there. So, and the tasting is only for the Friday night, of course. K2, you've got some beautiful photography on the walls.
Awesome,
here.
Isn't it?
It's just lovely stuff from the art inspired by the Arboretum. So it's Meryl Jensen, Jane Stokes, Sharon Lobaugh, and Jeff Brown. As I was walking down the hallway, it was just eye-catching and lovely. So stop in there, and this one is also only open until 6. Alaskan Dames, all the way out there.
All the way.
Yeah. VIP remodel and preview party. They're having an event from 5 to 8. They got a well-deserved makeover. You can come and watch on February 6th for a VIP private preview party. So come on out. 25% off store-wide and all that sort of stuff. The grand reopening continues on Saturday. So come on out for that. We just talked about the canvas, the show that they're having. Rainforest Yoga. Stephen Wolf will be doing a little 5 to 6 yoga thing in case you need a little stretch while you're doing all this stuff. The Rookery has Kosslig by Brandon Howard, which is translucent porcelain pinch pots, cups and lighting. It sounds like it's going to be absolutely lovely. So that's kind of the first Friday. And it's a good thing they're predicting wind, because you're going to need to be pushed around to get this all done in one day.
Yeah, you got
to
go. So many places close before 6. You got to go.
Yeah, and so the other things that are happening, it's World Quest at 6 p.m. on that evening. We have Snowball from 8 to midnight at Rockwell, and out at the University Eclectic Approach. There's lots of stuff going on aside from the stuff that we just mentioned. Saturday, there is the Polar Plunge.
Woo-hoo! Yes.
And it's predicted to be pretty polar, I have to say. 2 p.m. at the Auk Bay Harbor. And that's, we have at 5 p.m. a Valentine's Day beer and wine tasting benefiting Juno Montessori. That's at the Hangar. Bacon Fest is sold out, so don't even put it in your head. Gone.
That was Saturday? That's Saturday?
That's Saturday. Forget it. Go home and fry your own bacon.
Fine. Will do.
Will do. Yes. There's also Gold Street Music at the Resurrection Lutheran Church, and I know Patty Hall and a few other people are performing on that, but it's also the second candidate, Juno Symphony's second conductor candidate concerts this weekend. There's one on Saturday at 8, and I always suggest that people come to the 7 o'clock pre-concert talk. And particularly now that we're checking out new conductors, just to see how they think and all that sort of stuff. So that's at 8 p.m. The pre-concert talk is at 7. And then on Sunday at 2 for the pre-concert talk and 3 p.m. for the concert. Let's see. On Monday, it seems, we always mention the Tlingit Language Learners. You want to do that. On Tuesday, we mentioned Midori. Don't miss it. This is a once-in-a-lifetime chance. It is amazing that a town the size of Juno got this this performer here. It's just they got a very special grant selected out of very few numbers of places that she's touring. So, folks, do it. Also, there's Mudrooms, as I mentioned, and it's Planes, Trains, and Automobiles is their theme for this month. Let's see. We have on Wednesday, it seems like there was some... Oh, King of the Fish book drop happening at lunchtime up at the Thomas B. Stewart. You get a free book about salmon. Yay! You were just talking about dating.
Dating books.
Hopefully it's not a cold fish book. Oh, well. Let's see. So that's it. And I think next Thursday there's parent conferences. I'm just warning the parents that that's happening. And, of course, next week we're all gearing up for wearable art. And if you haven't got your tickets yet, there will be a couple of tickets still remaining for Sunday. So we can certainly get you in for that. So that was that.
That was a lot. You can also check out you can get your book, little booklet about First Friday. You can get that at the Jack. You can also check it out online at ktoo.org, and that is, smartphone compatible.
You know, yeah, I think they told me they weren't going to do that anymore.
Sad face, really?
Sad face, yeah.
Yeah. But, well, then swing by the Jack.
And get your little paper copy. Yeah. I mean, enough of this technology stuff.
Oh, mercy. And thejack.org.
AAHC.org is where you can get the details, like where to get phone numbers for people and stuff like that for these events, to get more details.
And you can also pick up your tickets maybe for Sunday's show.
Mm-hmm. And Midori.
And
mm-hmm.
And Midori.
Yeah, get all that stuff at First Friday. And, you know, get signed up for the gospel choir and stuff like that, which is also starting right up.
Wow. Thank you. The only Ms. Nancy DeCherney.
We'll see it something.
And thanks for joining us for Juno Afternoon.
This is KTOO Juno. We broadcast at 104.3 FM.